of Ephesians. Two Wednesday night, I've covered verses 1 and 2 and verse 3. So I thought I would bring a few verses to Sunday morning for you to understand how important it is. The series on Wednesday night, I've entitled God's Hello from Heaven, to us to understand how rich we really are in Christ Jesus. If you want to read an Old Testament book, it corresponds to the New Testament book. You can read the book of Joshua. Joshua led God's people into the promised land. Joshua's name is Jesus. Jesus leads his people into the promised land, which is the Lord Jesus. This morning, like for us to understand, we need to be what you are. That is a very powerful statement if you're saved here this morning, to be what you are. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing, heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in thee, beloved. Let us pray. Again, Father, we want to thank you for the privilege that we have today. One of the greatest privileges mankind will ever have in this world is to worship our Lord. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Father, we want to thank you for the responsibility that you laid upon us, that we need to be at a place of worship at a call time that you call us. Father, we just pray for the ones who have lost of loved ones, for the sick ones on our prayer list, and for all God's people, God, we just pray this day. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, amen. Y'all remember that program come on television, Ark Link Letter, when asked those kids, that was a highlight of that program, when asked those kids, and they say the kid says the darndest thing. Well, some kids was asked what they'd like to be if they had the choice to be anybody they wanted to be. One little girl said, well, I would like to be the bionic woman. Well, that sounds good. The little boy, he said, I'd like to be the hook. And all the ones they asked, it was some famous person or a well-known figure. But one little boy said, I'd like to be me. And asked, well, why? He said, well, I like me better than anybody I know. Well, that's good, because he understood who he was, and he was somebody. I want you to understand, and God wants you to understand, that you are somebody. You are somebody, and to be what God has called you to be. Now, in the country, in the time that we're living in, mostly in our country, there's a lot of frustration, a lot of irritation, there's a lot of aggravation and discouragement and depression. In our country, the depression used to be in the 20s. There was a Great Depression. That depression was on the outside. We have a greater depression this day and time because that depression is on the inside. There's two reasons that people are depressed, and the names that I've, and frustration and discouragement. One is they lost. If a person is lost, they will never be satisfied in this life, because God made a person to worship him, Jesus Christ. The next is a saved person that do not understand what they have in the relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know what it means to be saved in Jesus Christ. And to understand this, who you are, you need to be sure you know what you are before you can be what you are. So we need to understand this. And the key verse of scripture in this whole book is verse 3, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, because it unlocks the treasures of God, of how we can live this victorious life in Jesus Christ and discover who we are and to be what we are. In the Old Testament, you remember that the nation of Israel for 40 years walked around and around and around in the desert, and all of them died from 20 years old and older. They came out of Egypt because they would not claim what God had already gave them. There's a lot of Christians going to die And they're never going to live a victorious life. They will not claim what God has already given us. One of the reasons they do not know what God has already given us. Now the Bible, and there's some passage of doctrine passages in the Bible, and there's some passage now of behavior. This is a behavior chapter in the Bible, and verses in the Bible, as we have the Beatitudes is behavior in Matthew chapter 5. Salvation is an inside job. God does not modify our behavior in order to change us. He's changing us in order to modify our behavior. We need to recognize your righteousness. Before you can be what you are, you got to recognize your righteousness. Righteousness is not earned. If you're saved here this morning, you are a righteous person in Christ Jesus. How did you get to be a righteous person in Christ Jesus? You was born in the family of God. His righteousness was imputed to you. That means put on your account. You are a very righteous person today if you are saved. And there's nothing that you can add to your righteousness, and there's nothing that you can take away from your righteousness, because the righteousness of Jesus Christ and not of yourself, it was a gift to you. It was added to you, put on your account. So we need to recognize your righteousness. Well, we need to recognize who you are in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, you read this chapter, and it is a chapter telling us who we are. In chapter 2 and 3, it's a chapter telling us how we got to be who we are. In chapter 4 and 6, how we live what we are. And I'll be bringing these messages on Wednesday night. And this is always God's pattern for the believer. It's doctrine, it's practice first, after that, and then after that, it's behavior. Always doctrine first. You have to know the scriptures first. When people start doing rather than being what they are, it's legalism, and legalism leads to death. It is not doing, it's being what you are. It leads to frustration. And we live contrary to our identification in Christ Jesus. We try to do, we live contrary to what we really are in Christ Jesus. Like for instance, well, we'll start coming to church more regular. We'll start tithing. Well, we've not been tithing. We'll start doing this and doing that. That's behavior. You try to be good. You need to understand, first of all, who you are. The doctrine comes before the practical. John chapter 8 and 32. This is the very important verse of scripture. And it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is truth? Truth is what God says, and not what you just believe. Just because you believe something does not make it true. Just because you believe something do not make it true. It's what God says that makes it true. The atheist believes they are no God. Does that make it true? The Islamic believes that they kill a bunch of people, they go right straight to heaven. Just because you believe something do not make it true. It's what God says. Truth does not free you until you know it. Until you know it. Because no matter how many truth, wonderful truth is in this Bible, they will not set you free unless you know them. You know why a lot of people are frustrated, aggravated, under the bondage, never smile, under the circumstances? House falling apart, kids, everything. They do not know the truth. And they will never know the truth if they refuse to be committed to God's church and to His Word. They'll never know the truth, and they will never be free. Doctrine is always first. You got to know it. Then you practice it. And then comes the behavior. It's like a circus elephant. Y'all all seen of the circus elephants, and they got his old leg tied there to a stub in the ground back there. Several ton elephant could break loose, but the reason he don't, when that elephant was small, they betrayed that elephant by tying that chain around his leg and hooking it to something he could not pull over, a tree, maybe a cement stone way in the ground, something he could not move. Week after week and year after year, when they tie that up, he'd tie it, and that elephant couldn't move it. Well, you see that circus element, you see they drive a wooden stake or a stake in the ground just a few inches or a foot, and it holds him. The wooden stake do not hold that elephant. It keeps him there. That's not what keeps him there. He has learned in his mind that he cannot move that stake. It's just in the ground 6 inches. His mind, he has fastened his mind on his perceiving that he cannot pull that stake up. So he's perceiving that it's not true. He cannot move that stake. So he stays tied. If he knew the truth would set him free. Because it wouldn't take but just one swack of his leg and he would pull that stub up. But he perceives that stake has him. He cannot move. A lot of Christians are in the same condition because they do not know the truth. And over weeks and years of practicing that old tree, they can't move it. So they stay frustrated. They don't know what to have in Christ Jesus. And they do not know the truth. His perception has bound him. Not the stub, not the stake. His perception has bound him that he cannot be free. Christian perception have bound them. They do not have the truth. If they will have the truth, they cannot be free. They do not know who they are in Christ. And they will never be liberated and never live the victorious Christian life that God intends for every child of God to have. He's already given it to you. Now that's why the devil likes to keep you from church. That's why the devil likes to keep you from church. Mothers and fathers and grandparents over your children. If you teach them that the church, by your commitment, by not bringing them and see they at the church when they should be on a Sunday school, Wednesday night, whenever it is, if they grow up like that elephant, you are training those kids to be that circus elephant, and they will never understand the freedom they have in Jesus Christ because a church will mean nothing to them. What good does it do to go to church? My mothers and fathers, my grandparents, they didn't go. They don't see that I went. I don't care. And it will never have the truth, and they will not know the truth. And without knowing the truth, they will never be free. They must have the truth. You're just training them to be circus elephants. That church should be irrelevant to them. Have no place in their life. And statistics have showed many, many times, over and over again, a mother and a father that brings those children to the church and a Sunday school on a regular basis and be committed to more percentage-wise, those kids, when they grow up, will do the same thing. Why? Because you're training that way. Now, if you go the other way, they're going to be circus elephants. The church, Jesus Christ, to be irrelevant to their life. What does it mean? Won't mean anything to them whatsoever. And they will live a defeated, frustrated, aggravated, and depressed life in Jesus Christ. Now, God has given us all the truth that we need. But if you will not accept this, there's nothing else that God can do for you. Church, you see, you need to stand on the Word of God and what God says. To come to the house of God. And fathers, God has put this on your back and your responsibility to see that your children, your wife, and your families is in the house of God on a regular basis. Because you know that we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and your life will be lived, the works that you have done. Why is Sunday night just as not important as Sunday morning? You will stand before God with that. But it says every mouth shall be stopped. You will not give an excuse. You will not give an excuse, but you will stand before God with that. You must know the truth. Proceed in our hearts and our mind. Without knowing this, we will not live the truth that we should. Cosmetic surgery, oh, several times I watched them on television, and they do this plastic surgery, and most of the time it's ladies, and they see themselves as disfigured. They keep coming back over and over and over again to these cosmetic surgery because they perceive themselves as really something is disfigured. They want it fixed, they want it fixed, they want it fixed. But what they perceive themselves really is not the truth. The truth is looking in a mirror and knowing the truth. Ladies, I don't know, and girls, I see on television, anorexia, that's what you call it, when they look like they're just skin and bones, and they look in the mirror and they see themselves as overweight. I don't understand how they do that, but they perceive in their mind that they're already overweight, and no matter what they weigh, it don't make no difference to them, they're still overweight. Same thing as that circus elephant. And the same thing with your children that don't know how that mothers and fathers should bring them to the house of God. Why is it important? They will never know the truth that God wants them to know and believe this. People keep us away from being committed to church. They will never see these truths in their children. They will grow up not knowing what they are. They can't be what they are because they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 and 2 again. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize your righteousness. And it says saints. Saints. Nobody makes you a saint. You are a saint by birth. You are a saint by birth. Not by performance and not by behavior. But by birth, you are a saint of God. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many saints we have here today? I'm going to ask you, don't raise your hand, but I'm going to tell you, a lot of problems, I tell you. Mother Teresa, she was a great lady in humanitarian. I guess she saved, I don't know. But you see, she became a saint by the Pope after she died. The Bible says we are saints while we're living. Born as saints. How many of you are saints this morning? And some of you, if I was one-on-one, you'd say, well, I'm really not good enough to be a saint. I just don't behave like I ought to do. Well, that sounds humble, don't it? I'm just not what I ought to be. Sounds humble. But it's not humble, it's rebellion. If you're not what you ought to be, why not? If you're not what you ought to be, why not? Why not you what you ought to be? God will not take no excuse. You are a saint. You are a saint. And it does not mean that you are sinless. It means that you are blameless. And there's a lot of difference in those two words. You'll never be sinless in these bodies. But you can be blameless. Romans 4 and 4 says, now to him that worketh, it is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessings of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. If you could be saved by your good works, you'd be earned your salvation, and God would be indebted to you. If you could work good enough and be good enough to earn your salvation, then God would be indebted to mankind. But you can't do that. Verse 6 says again, even as David also described the blessings of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Without works. Next time you go to the station or go to the store, just say impute it when you buy something. Just tell them impute it, see what they say. It's the same word as charge it. Put it on my account. Imputed. Put it on my account. Romans 12 and 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure of faith. You know, you see, the first thing, to recognize your righteousness. And then when you recognize your righteousness through doctrine, the word of God, through the practice and then your behavior, then you rely on your resources that God has already given you. Ephesians 1 and 3 again. Blessed be the God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now the key, I said, have give you. Not going to, it says, have give you all things pertaining in this knowledge of him. It says the knowledge of him also, but all things that we have in heavenly places. As we cover this on a Wednesday night, to think about what God has given us, all spiritual blessings. From time that you saved, God gave you everything that you will ever need from time that you were saved. You just have to understand. Know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You have all Jesus Christ that you're ever going to have. Well, preacher, I've saved, but we sin. Yes, we do. But most of the time, we tell this as an excuse for sin. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. Will we? Will we? We don't have to. But we yield to the flesh. God's given us everything that we don't have to sin. God has already blessed us in all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Now, who's right? You or God? I'll give you all. God says, I give you all. You say, well, you give me all? You have all. Now, if God has given you all this, and for instance, God's given you all the love that you need. God give you all the peace that you need. God give you all the faith that you need. God give you all the wisdom you need. God has given you all the patience you need. George last night says, you know what, you need patience. I said, no, I've already got all the patience I need. She didn't know this was part of my sermon. And you say, well, give me patience. Well, preacher, if I have it, why don't I have it? If I have it, why don't I have it? Because you don't know that you have it. The concept, like old elephant, the concept is we don't have it. But God says, I've already given it to you, every bit of it, all. The concept, I don't have the patience that I need. God says, I've already given them to you. I got to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Concepting ourselves as not having it, just like that old elephant did. First comes that doctrine, you got to know the truth. Then comes that practical issue in life, and then we have the behavior. Problem's not that we don't have it. The problem is we don't realize that we have it. Everything we need, we have. Now, a lot of you's been on these cruise ships. I don't want to go on a cruise ship. I don't like the cruise ship. I don't like the water. I'm not planning on ever going on one of them. Joyce wants to go. She can paddle her way off if she wants to. I don't want to go. But when you get on one of those cruise ships, 5 days, 7 days, whatever it is, do you pack your lunch? Do you pack it? We're going to be gone 5 days. Do you pack your lunch? Everything that you need to take that cruise is already on board when you get there. Everything that you need for that 5 days, 7 days, or whatever it is, it's already there. When you saved in Christ Jesus, from time you get on the gospel ship, everything that you need is given you right then, just like everything on that ship that you need. Now, when you start off, another thing, when you start off on this good old gospel ship, it's just like the ship that you're going to take this cruise. You're going down the Bahamas. When you pay that price and you get that ticket, you get on board that ship, now, you're free to do a lot of things on that ship, I understand. I mean, you can go to the swimming pool, you can play tennis, you can play this, you can do that, you can sit down and read, you can sit in an easy chair, you can do anything you need. There's so many things you can do, they tell me on the ship. You can make a decision to lay around, you can make a decision, get up, you make a decision when you're going to go eat, you make a lot of decisions, but none of your decisions will change the destination of that ship. You're going to your destination when you get on board. When you get saved in Christ Jesus, everything that you need to live this Christian life is already on board with Jesus Christ. And every one of us makes decisions every day, some big decisions, some little decisions, some bad decisions, some good decisions. But no matter what decision you make, when you made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to the other side. As disciples, Jesus Christ says, get in the ship and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, they went through storm, did they not? Where did they wind up at? On the other side. God had given them everything that they needed to go to the other side. When you're in Christ Jesus and you make this decision, everything that you need is in Christ Jesus. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, God does not ask anything of you that he hadn't already given you. You think about that. He don't ask anything of you he hadn't already given you. God does not ask me to manufacture anything. He does not ask me to manufacture anything. Is it more important to believe what you believe or more important to believe what God says? You better believe what God says, not what you think. 1 Peter 1 and 3. According as his divinely power have given unto all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us into this glorious virtue. Someone's asked me many times, do you believe in this little second blessing? And I say, yes, I really do. The second blessing is understanding what you got in the first blessing. That is a great second blessing. Because Romans 8 and verse 9 tells us, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of him. That means if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are lost. Some people believe, you know, you get an installment plan of salvation. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit on down the road. Not according to what God said, the truth will make you free. You're going to get everything you get of God at one time. And then you spend the rest of your life understanding what you got that first time. And sometimes we'll never understand it all. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Without knowing the truth, you'll never be free, and you'll never understand what God has given you when you got saved. And how that we ought to be worshiping the Lord. When you get saved, we need to understand that. Now, there was an old saint of God, very godly man. He lived just by the very necessity of things of this world, had very few things of this world, worldly goods. But there was an old tax assessor come to inventory everything he had to tax him. Tax assessor pulled out his big old ledger. He said, now you tell me how rich you are. The man said, well, I'm very, very rich. He said, well, list some of your possessions that you have. He said, well, to start with, he says, I have eternal life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Next thing he says, you know, he says, I got a mansion. Then he read John 14 and 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Then he says, I have peace, passes all understanding. Philippians 4 and 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. He said, I have joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1 and 8. Who have not seen, ye loved, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believe, ye have rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He says, I have a faithful wife. Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. He says, I have a happy and obedient family and children. Exodus chapter 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God have given thee. He says, I have a friend that's very loyal to me. Proverbs 18 and 24. A man that have friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He says, I have a crown of life. James 1 and 12, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. He says, you know what? Jesus Christ supplies all my needs. He's in Philippians 4 and 19. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The tax collector closed his book. He said, you're one of the richest men that I've ever met. You are rich here today. If you're not rich, you can be rich before you leave here by accepting Jesus Christ. And it says there in Colossians 2 and 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Recognize your righteousness, rely on your resources, but rest in your relationship. Ephesians 4 and 5, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of his will. Your relationship is one of acceptance, of one of acceptance in Christ Jesus. Matthew 3 and 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God accepts you in Christ Jesus. He accepts you just like he accepts his Son, Jesus Christ. But we feel rejection. Now, this rejection has been passed on from Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's the reason mankind will do all kind of things to try to make God to accept him. We'll do everything to make God to accept us. We'll kill for it, as the Islamic faith does. We'll do most anything to make God accept us. We born with this nature of feeling rejected. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God rejected them. They was out of the Garden of Eden. And that time on, you see, mankind spend most of their time trying to be accepted. You let somebody's lost, they'll try to be accepted. You try to be accepted, and all it is, whenever you try to be accepted, you know what that does for you? All it does is make you proud. Because you can't do anything to cause God to accept you. People try to do something. I mean, I'll do anything. We'll do anything trying to make God accept us. God already accepted us before the foundation of the world. He's already accepted us. We'll work just as hard as we can to make God to accept us. Even the lost, it says in Romans 5 and 8, but God commits his love toward us, and while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you while you was yet in your sins. He loves us. God loves a sinner, but he will not accept the sinner until the sinner repents of his sins. Now, there's a whole group of people, religious people. Holiness is not the way to Christ, and they practice this because they have this behavior first and then the practice before the doctrine comes. They deny the doctrine of the Word of God already. But the holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Christ is the way to holiness. You're trying to be holy, be good enough to get to Christ, you'll never get to Christ out of the way. You'll never be holy because Christ makes you holy, not yourself. And you see, there's nothing that we can do to cause God to love us anymore. And there's nothing that you do to cause God to love you any less. Because he loves you through Christ Jesus. And he loves you because who he is and not who you are. See these blessings. And then he comes to this word predestination. Now, this is a word that scares people to death. Predestination, adoption, and I'll get into that a little later. But predestination, when you find that in the Bible, it's always talking to the saved person. You'll never find it talking to a person that's being predestined to go to hell. Now, we have another group of religious people that I highly love. They believe in this doctrine of election, that man cannot help where they're going. They've been predetermined before they was born to go to hell or go to heaven. When people get in this condition and they say, well, God knows everything, and they're telling the truth. There's two truths in the Bible. They have this doctrine of election because God knows before you was ever born where you go into heaven or hell. And that's, I tell you what, that is the truth. But whenever you preach this and teach doctrine of election and they say, you know what, you pre-medicated to go to hell or heaven. No. When you teach this, you're over here on God's side. And you sit over here on God's side and you say, well, God knows everybody's going to go to heaven. God knows everybody's going to go to hell. They've been predestined to go to heaven or hell. They're predestined. They've been elected to go there. When you're doing that, you're doing that from God's side. And you do not know God's mind, and you do not know who's going to heaven and go to hell. You're on God. But what you need to do, you need to get over where the Bible says that mankind need to be over here on this side and say, whosoever will. Because you don't know, and I don't know. Whosoever will. God says his will is for no man to perish, for all to come to repentance. We don't know this. So people that believes in this election and believes this a predestination, a person of predestination go to hell, they're over on God's side, which is the truth. But you better get over on man's side because you don't know what God knows. And whosoever will, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. Predestination, I said, whenever you're saved, then God takes the responsibility of your behavior and your practice through the doctrine of the Word of God for you to become like Jesus Christ. That's what predestined. He had predestined every one of his children when you're saved become like Jesus Christ. And that means a little song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Well, I tell you, he is still working on every one of us to make us what we ought to be. What we ought to be, we ought to be like Jesus. And he gives us everything that we need. We need to understand to be what we are. And that comes through doctrine, premeditation, through the Word of God, adoption. That goes into more details. If I put you in a barrel, and I put you in the Little Sotillo River, where would you be? You'd be in the barrel in the Little Sotillo River. Whenever you're saved, you're in Christ Jesus. As I read tonight, where is Jesus at? At the right hand of the Father. Spiritually speaking, that's where you're at. And I have given you all things pertaining to heaven. I've given it to you. It's already yours. That is a doctrine. To know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us acceptable in the beloved. Who made us acceptable? God made us acceptable. How did he do that? Through Jesus Christ that paid the debt, the penalty for you and I that we could not pay on the cross of Calvary. When you accepted Jesus Christ, God accepted you. He accepted you just like he accepted his son. When he sees you, he did not see you in your sin. He sees you under the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, that was a stamp of approval that God had accepted his son. It was finished. And I tell you what, when he died, you died. When he was buried, you was buried. When he rose again, you rose again. When he didn't, don't stop there. When he ascended to the right hand of the Father, guess what? You ascended with him spiritually. You're in the heavenly places. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I give you all things pertaining to godliness in this heavenly calling that I give each and every one of you. Be what you are is God's calling to every one of us as a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, you're very poor. In fact, you are a bankrupt sinner no matter how much money that you have. You want to be rich in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only one way to accept it. You want to be a saint of God, you have to be born again into the family of God. By coming, acknowledge that you're just a poor old sinner and you need to be saved. Jesus Christ made a way that you could do that. God has sent his son to die on the cross for you to pay that penalty. He went to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit of God to be with you. He takes the Spirit of God, takes the Word of God, and reveals to you the Son of God that you might be saved. That's just that simple. To know who you are. To know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. There will be a smile no matter what happens in this life. There will be joy. There will be happiness. No matter what conditions you're living in, if you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I tell you, look at this old world, and this old world will not have no desire for you whatsoever. You will be with Christ Jesus in heaven. That's what it all means of being what you are in Christ Jesus. He's already given it to us. Now, if you're not saved this morning, now is a good time to be saved, would you say? Today would be the day of my salvation. Today would be the first day of my life. You start all over again. As we come with a song of invitation, I'm going to ask you this morning, I have given you the truth by the Word of God. I've given you the truth. You need to know the truth. You cannot come to the Lord unless you know the truth. And the truth is, you are a sinner. You want to be saved, you'll be saved by the grace of God. And it says he gives every man a measure of faith. You know what? It's not your faith. You say, well, I just don't have enough faith. You see, you're calling God a liar. Because God said, I'll give every person the measure of faith they need. Well, I would come, but you see, I do not feel that I can live this Christian life. Well, join the crowd. There's nobody sitting in this building that can live the Christian life. Jesus Christ gets in us and lives his life all over again. It's not me that lives it. It's not you that lives it. It's Christ Jesus living in me and Christ Jesus living in you. You can't live it. So you have no excuse before God. You need to be saved today. I'll ask you to come. If God has spoken to your heart, let realize you know the truth of God. I need to be free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of being in a lost condition. Well, if you know the truth, Jesus Christ said, I will save you. All you got to do is admit that you are a sinner, that you're doomed and damned on your way to a place called hell because of your sin, the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you tell me, Jesus Christ, that I repent of my sins, I'm going to ask you to forgive me my sins. And would you come in my heart and be my Savior? He said, I will. And I tell you, you might come in those doors a lost sinner, bankrupt sinner without anything. You can go out as a child of the King.